Do we have the first Q&A question here? All right. Bored Skyler, will there be a game all our starters are available?
Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, what's the most important non-stat of this year? That's actually good. That one might have me stumped then. The most important non-stat.
Is there ever a game where every starter is available?
Shit. No, like preseason number one. Mm. It's because like none of the starters play.
It also feels like this year in the NFL, people are sitting out more and more for things that they might not have sat out for in the past. There's like a quick hook on guys, but there's big investments being made. So I understand it maybe from a business side.
Yeah.
But it does feel like guys find themselves on the injury report more often.
I saw a guy, I'm not going to say names, but a meniscus tear.
Uh-huh.
Season ending. Do you know the rash of shit we would have caught for not getting that shit scoped, fixed, and then fucking getting back out there in 4 weeks?
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Hmm.
I'm not about to call anybody soft.
Right.
I'm just saying that was a 4 to 6, 8 at most week injury. So you get a week one, you're at least playing half the season, even if you're extra cautious with it. And it's just like people
Who's making these decisions, you think? The doctors, the teams?
No, I think it's an individual decision.
Hmm.
Like, and I get it. Don't put any bad film out there. Like, that's kind of like the name of the game. But, once you enter camp, even off season, when you don't have pads on and the muscles are strained and everything, no one's ever 100%. It only goes down from there.
Hmm.
And then it's just a war of attrition. Who can out fucking last who, right? And so that's where the toughness and resilience comes in. But most important non-stat of this year.
What's a non-stat? Give me an example.
Just something that doesn't go down in the stats, not an official stat.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like now they're tracking pressures back then,
right.
And it was just a sack, right?
Okay.
So Tyler Lockett and his timely penalties against the opposition. Like, you go back and you really, like, put a value on the first downs that he's enabled us through getting the calls. That's a non-stat that really should be tracked by all analytics. I don't know if it is, but it's a great question, Bored Skyler.
Tyler Lockett, 5 catches for 46, finding those soft spots in the zone and then doing his Tyler Lockett thing of, like, turning up field and then his feet start spinning around on the turf and he's not really getting much traction and then he kind of falls forward.
Hey.
Doing his Tyler Lockett impression.
Yeah, more yak than last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the penalties, that's huge. It's a hidden yardage, right? So that's one of them. I'm trying to think of anything else. I don't know, like, even if you go back, and I would have to really count them up, but, like, the amount of double teams that a defensive lineman takes up and they hold the integrity of the line of scrimmage, that's something that will never get brought up, especially when, like, a guy, Leonard Williams, who's probably doing it a lot last year, like, doesn't have the sack production, which everybody can point to. He's like, oh, that's why we traded for him, and that's why we paid him all that money. He's eating up double teams, like, so linebackers can roam freely and, like, make plays. So things like that. But I'm going to go with probably the most important right now is just the penalties we're allowed to draw on other people.
I have some stats that I like. One is the third down conversion rate for opposing offenses against our defense.
Uh-huh.
It's nice right now. And that was a problem. We couldn't get off the field going back a couple years. And now, I mean, we're getting off the field.
Oh, it was insane. Yeah. One of 12 today, right? It was unbelievable. And so, like, I think successful defensive metric is, like, if we can keep them under 30%, like, if we keep them 25% or under, like, that's a win for us as a defense.
That was McNeil passing out, by the way.
Yeah.
In case you guys were wondering.
We'll check on him in a sec.
He's still breathing.
I mean, he's out cold, but he's smiling.
Fine.
So,
yeah.
So you keep him under that number, that metric, then you're going to have a good day. And then if you can add on an interception or a turnover or two, it's going to be an even better day in terms of what the score looks like. But that's really what I was most impressed with. 24-3. We had no turnovers. We gave up two turnovers. Like, it should have been a lot closer. I don't care who was playing quarterback, right? Like, that was what stood out to me the most. So that might be another non-stat board, Skyler.
I feel like that we left some points out there, though, which might have some Seahawks fans frustrated. I think even halfway through the game, the whole team here, was a bit frustrated. But it leaves them wanting more and something to work on for next week and leaves them hungry.
Brett had the over. Can you tell?
I feel like if they score in the third quarter, if they put one in there in the, you know, right before halftime, like, a lot of Seahawks fans are feeling differently about this blowout win. I mean, of course, Seahawks fans are the only fans in the world that can be upset after a blowout win.
But brother, you're right though. I had him 34-20 was my score prediction, right? And I just said, with all that talent they have, all that speed, Achane, Cheetah, Waddle, like, they have talent all over that field.
Yeah,
they have a good D-line, and so I'm actually encouraged by what I saw out of our offensive line. It just, especially like the almost 100 yards rushing by Sharps, it's just like, it's coming together nicely. And I know, like, you want more, right? You want more. But undefeated,
yeah,
a team we should blow out, right? What everybody's saying on paper with a bad quarter, we did blow out.
Yeah.
And now it wasn't 50-10 or whatever. Like, it was just, I was impressed.
It was 24-3, and that brings me to our score prediction challenge. McNeil, anybody nail the score prediction by Simply Seattle this week? No? We do a collaborative post with Simply Seattle, the best apparel company up here in Seattle. This upper left USA shirt is from them. You can check them out online. If you nail the score prediction, you get a gift card, but nobody got it this week. So the total rolls over to next week. So check us out on our preview episode coming out this week on Friday. And we'll go at it again. See if someone can nail it for the Monday night football game with the Lions. Right. Score prediction brought to you by our friends at Simply Seattle. Here's a comment from Nora. Uh-oh. I'm gonna try my best.
I got this one, partner.
Okay.
Saratsky.
Does Sharp's performance today set up a solid expectation of what the run game could be with a bad O-line and no K-9?
Oh, shit, Nora.
No. Well, I mean, look, damn near 20 carries, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. On paper, I'll take that all day long.
All day.
All day.
All night.
Ding.
Boop.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Sorry.
I mean, I think we want to see McIntosh get a few more carries. Helani, yeah, who I think is dealing with some injuries, but if he could get out there.
Let's get the Mac attack
going.
Look,
we need K-9. We want K-9 back. We need to see him and the way that he runs the ball and what he can do behind this O-line. I think Charbonnet is holding his own and we're winning games, but let's get K-9 back doing his thing.
Yeah, and even just the style of runs, it looked like heavy double teams and leaning and pushing. So the RPO can actually probably be a little more successful if Grubbs wants to go that route. And I think he'll look at that and be like, okay, with Sharp's style, you know, it definitely plays into K-9, who can, like, sit patiently, pick his spot and go. But what we saw out of Sharp's in the second half, anyways, was very impressive. And I think that plays in, because the only thing, the risk you run when you're doing the RPO run pass option, where Geno's sitting there and he can either hand it off, let go, or he can pick up and throw to the flat. You risk a lineman getting downfield. We don't necessarily do the zone blocking scheme where a lot of other guys, it goes hand in hand, but the timing, if it's not perfect, that's where they get penalties. Like, they'll get a completion or something down the field, and because a lineman was illegal lineman down the field, and it'll bring it back. So I think that's the struggle, but I think that goes very well complementary with what Grubbs is trying to do with the run game.
Mm-hmm. I just like him sticking to it. There were so many games throughout the last few years that we found ourselves saying, why didn't they stick with the run? Why did they abandon it early?
Why are we ending
6 yards of carry, but only 4
six
rushes.
Carries, yeah.
Like, hello, if it's working, hello, keep
McFly
doing it. Well, Lofa and I we'd be offensive coordinators like I used to play Madden, where you just flip it, run it again, flip it, run it again, flip it, run
all
it again.
All day, baby.
Until they
stop it.
Yeah. Bionic Giraffe 94, hell of a screen name. Thank you for stopping by. What's the deal with the refs trying to make the games about them this year. Lofa, 22 penalties. We know that you've got no love for referees.
Negative love. I mean,
why do they make themselves part of the game? And why is this one piece of my hair sticking up? It's driving me crazy.
Your hair looks great, first of all.
Thanks, Ben.
Bionic Giraffe, 94. Great name. Thank you for chiming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a flag football ref I'm dealing with, if you really want to get into it. And so, like, I didn't even want to get into this.
But, all right, let's
like,
get into it.
Holy shit.
What is going on?
Let the players play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you know what? I'll say this is the one thing where it was like, hey, 11 for 80-something and then 11 for 90 for them or whatever. At least they called it fair. It wasn't like where you see one team with 11 penalties, like flag football, and then one team with one penalty, right? It was there, you know, but you get, even when back when I was like playing and even coaching, you actually get kind of a strategy of, okay, these guys call this amount of penalties and this is what they call holding. They look for rough in the passer, like they're pretty strict or stringent on these particular calls. So you go into that week, like, first of all, if you're a good player, you should be cognizant of, like, hey, I'm not going to try to do anything illegal. I'm going to try to play within the rules of the game. But I understand, heat of the moment, just fucking, and then you're talking shit and you battle, like, you lose your cool. Like, but there's certain refs.
But you get a scouting report as a player on the referees.
You, they tell you the crew. They tell you just, you know, how they call the game.
Wow.
They are going to call holding.
Mm-hmm.
So if your arms are outside the frame, if they're not on the chest plate, penalties are going to be called. And that's just the way it is. And it's all subjective. And I think that's the worst part is, like, if anything, I don't even know if us going to full-time refs, they're like, oh, we'll make them full-time employees because they're part-time, right? I don't think that's going to solve it because everybody has a different perspective. There's a different, like, how they interpret the rules and how they interpret calls. And then you got people flopping now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just gross.
Yeah.
Just gross.
Yeah, I don't like it at all, Bionic Giraffe 94. I can't stand it either. I don't like when every time there's a big play or a deep pass down the field or whatever, like you
Everyone's
find yourself looking around
yeah.
for a flag. It takes the fun out of it sometimes. I don't think it's the way that football was intended or like the yeah. spirit of it, you know?
No.
Just let them play. I mean, that's what used to be so great about baseball before they had the review was just like the play was the play. There it was. And I understand the desire to get it right. But at the same time, sometimes it's fun to just have the play be what the play was and you move on, you know?
I agree.
Run it again instead of looking for something that was wrong with it.
I feel like social media has made it worse. Bionic Giraffe 94. I don't know where you went.
What, the refs?
Yeah, you know. They probably just want a little camera time. Oh. Just like, hey.
I have noticed that like a lot of the refs are jacked now.
Yeah.
Have you
That's
noticed?
That's where I was going.
Hockley like started it.
Oh.
But
Hercules.
Yeah,
is
but,
what we
but
used
then
to
now
him.
His kid's there and his kid's jacked, but then there's a bunch of other jacked refs too.
Hockley was actually like the one of the few that actually like called the game like correctly.
Mm.
Like you know, like even like I don't know. I had an unnecessary ref miss penalty. I didn't say anything. I was like, you're probably right. Sorry, Hawk.
Maybe there's something to that, though. They've all got these bodies now, and they want to show them off on film. I don't know. I like that theory. Here we go. Elaine Ress 1. Sorry, guys. Dodson isn't that big. How does he tackle with so much force?
Hey, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. Size of the fight in the dog.
Yeah.
And we should start calling him Dogson.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking beast.
Man, no Jerome Baker for this game. So
yeah, that hurts.
Knight and Dodson are back there, and they showed up huge.
Yeah. No, you're right. You look at the tail of the tape, but just he just brings it. He just – there's some guys that just have – it doesn't matter how big, fast, whatever – they know how to hit. They know how to bring the hips. They know how to strike, step through the tackle, punch through the target, almost like a boxer. They're punching through the body, through the face. That's how, you know, dogs get down. And Dodson is a dog.
Yeah. Knight ends with 5 tackles, 1 assist. He's had a tackle for loss. Where's Dotson?
Did he have a sack too? I think they both got a sack, didn't they?
They don't. Now I'm on NFL.com. ESPN.com is different than NFL.com. Yeah. But they don't have Knight down for a sack. But Dotson's got his sack, and then he's got two tackles and two assists, and then a tackle for a loss. Which does the sack count as the tackle for the loss?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a triple stat. It's a tackle, it's a sack, and it's a tackle for a loss.
Nice. Three for one.
So if you get forced fumble or sack cost fumble, it's like a quadruple single.
The grand slam of defense.
Yeah. It's a cycle.
The defensive grand slam.
And then if you scoop it for a touchdown, that's like six stats in one.
Hey, Davis Love checking in.
The golfer?
PGA golfer Davis Love loves the show.
Hey, love your game, kid.
Thanks for tuning in, Davis. Is our D-line going to struggle with the Lions' O-line? Well, without Williams or Murphy, it's definitely going to be harder. So we'll have to monitor those injuries and see what happens there. Can you look into your crystal ball or your crystal mini helmet, please? Is the D-line going to struggle?
It's like a magic eight ball. Chances are slim. No, we're good.
Sweet. Moving on.
No, but it's a challenge, Davis. Like, straight up, it's a challenge. They got some monsters up front, and they got a good mix with that, with the running backs and everything. Gibbs, I think Montgomery's still there. And when he's healthy, I mean, he got hurt last year, and they missed a lot of their offense. They ran through him to set up the play action and keep the defense, like, honest, coming forward so the intermediate and deep post and shots were there. And then, you know, they got a lot of receivers. You know, one of them, a Trojan. And I know we lost this week. I don't want to get into that, but I'm just going to, you know, put that out there that I know because a lot of people have been texting me.
Look, Davis, I mean, whether you're hitting off the pine straw at Augusta or trying to get out of one of those deep bunkers at St. Andrews.
Yeah, it's never easy.
It's never easy, Davis. You know how it goes.
You know, Davis,
you're a professional athlete. You know what that's
also
up.
Send us some tips.
Nora Sorotsky.
Sorotsky.
You got it. Will Abe or Chenna have a bigger impact once back? Ooh. Oh,
wow, that's a great
question. I love the either ors. Yeah. Who will have a bigger impact once they come back? Abe Lucas on the offensive line
first,
or Chenna
partner.
On the defensive line?
I want your partner.
Well, well, now with some possible injuries on the defensive line, we need to get Chenna back to then reinforce that depth that we've been speaking of. So, but then again, the offensive line has been offensive, and so we might need the problem is Williams and Murphy going out today, and we don't know what's up there. So I'm going to go with Chenna because of that. Had that not happened today, I'd go with Abe because look at how he got after quarterbacks today, no matter who those quarterbacks are.
Fair, but we saw Draymond play his best game so far, you know, dating back to last. He's had some good games last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside-ish in that D-end or even stand-up role. And that's where Chenna plays. So now, okay, with the injuries, do we have to move Dre back inside where it's just tough duties, right? Just body-wise and frame-wise. So I'm going to go Abe has the bigger impact, even though I love Chenna and I know he's one of the greatest rushers. But you got Hall stepping up. You can never have enough edge, but I'm worried about the interior of the defense, right? Because we got Murphy, and we got our depth, you know, because we got Hank and Jay Reed. And now we lost one of our lines of interior with Williams and Murphy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Williams a starter, Murphy part-time starter, whatever. They interchange them, right, based on what they want to see. But so I would say Abe's got the bigger significance and impact coming back.
For me, I think we saw an answer to how to help this offensive line with what they did. Was it in the beginning of the fourth quarter, going a little more tempo, getting the ball out of Geno's hand fast? And, I mean, that quick turnaround to Noah Fant is there any time that they want it, seemingly. And to me, that's the best way to battle that pass rush, just get it out of the guy's hand fast.
Quick game to guys that are bigger, stronger, faster than the guys that are tackling them.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, no safety wants to hit Noah Fant.
Mm-mm.
Monster. And then even Charbonnet He was lethal on the check down. It was right over the middle of the ball, check it down.
Yeah.
And then he just barreled forward for at least another 3 or 4 yards. Catch it at 3 or 4, get another 3 or 4. It's like anywhere from 7 to 9 yards, like, that he was picking up against the Patriots. So, yeah, I think you can combat that. And but I just think, Abe, like, especially with how effective the downfield passing the DK has been, you give Geno time. I don't know if anybody's catching up to DK.
Okay, but let's check in on the receivers real quick, because preseason talk was, this is low-key the best receiving core in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel through 3 weeks about that?
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you see someone else out there better?
I'll think about it as we keep going along here, since it's right off the top of my head right now. But, I mean, we've had some big weeks. JSN had a big week last week, but consistently, all three of them. I mean, I know they set the record, and they both of them went over 100 last week.
Yeah. Well, the team we just faced was one of them. But mm-hmm. when you lose your quarterback, it will change the mood, right? So I'm positive we can say that we are better than the Dolphins, at least from what we saw today.
Yeah.
Also a factor of how good our defense is. But I don't know. Like, I'm looking around the league. Maybe the Chiefs, like Rasheed Rice, Kelsey. Yeah.
Worthy.
Yeah, Worthy.
Yeah.
They put Hollywood, I think Hollywood Brown's on IR, but if they had him, like, holy shit, like, that's another speedster. I don't know how the New Orleans Saints did, but they were putting up some serious numbers in the first two weeks. So
I'm sitting here smiling because
they had Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and then they had one other. Like, they got guys over there too. So
I'm sitting here smiling because I'm thinking about the DK Jalen Ramsey matchup. That was a big storyline coming into the game. I think DK won again.
Yeah.
Obviously.
The
deep one wasn't on Ramsey.
It wasn't.
But whatever. We'll just say he won anyway.
Yeah.
I love it.
Ramsey's still a star.
That was definitely the game within the game.
Alina!
Checking in with her first chat here of the evening. What's up, Alina? Alina is a very, very loyal commenter you guys hear every week, so... Here we go. What can be done to boost our O-line to protect Geno? If that can be done, then our team would be hard to beat. Also, we are known to be lucky on Monday Night Football. Hell yeah. I wouldn't say lucky. I'd say we're known to be good in primetime, Alina. And I'd say, what can be done to help protect Geno? I think it's getting the ball out of his hands quick on those quick passes and just not letting him hold on to it for longer than he needs to.
Yeah, for sure. But then also, like, I got faith in Grubbsy getting creative and just, you know, there's ways to bring in the tight ends, have them chip, you know, before they release. And now that slows down the, especially Aiden Hutchinson, you know, that guy is a monster. Just help out and make sure, okay, as a tackle, I'm getting a chip. Do not lose inside, right? Because that's what I see so many guys, they float out because they're worried about speed. And then the end, they're rushing upfield, seeing the chip coming, and they're looking at this guy, and they have that shoulder shimmy duck underneath. The chip doesn't do anything because he just goes right out. He's like, well, he went inside. That's the tackle's job, to win inside. It's the easiest path to the quarterback. So I think with proper chip protection and release from the backs and the tight ends, we can slow down that pass rush, boost the O-line protection. And, hard to beat. We're 3-0, girl.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but we're 3-0.
Undefeated is undefeated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm not seeing in the chat tonight? I'm not seeing a lot of people being honest about the Geno question and how they truly feel and sharing their open and honest thoughts in our safe space.
Because I've won you over, and I love you for real, recognizing real.
Do we just have a bunch of homers in here now?
He's a G.
Or do we have a bunch of silver lining Steves?
Nah, dude, I think you're trying, you know, and I dig it. If, you know, Geno, he still hasn't written back. And, you know, maybe that's where your movie script reading into actor life, Hollywood guy, He's trying to put a storyline that's not there anymore. Because Geno squashed that shit.
No, I go to these games and stand next to you, and I talk to Seahawks fans, and they'll tell me face-to-face that they're nervous and they don't trust and they've got questions, and they look at me out of the side of their eye. But then we get here on here, and nobody's got the...
Say their names.
The plums to say anything about it.
Then say their names, Brett.
I don't want to put anyone out there
weird,
like that.
Real weird. Real weird.
I don't want to put them out there like that. But if this continues... I'll start putting names out there.
If what, undefeated continues? Yeah.
No, if the talk look like this continues. Here we go. Diana Kane. Great to see you today, Lofa, at Touchdown City.
Diana.
I really appreciate you chatting concussion / TBI with me. Means a lot to us 12. Shout out, Diana. Thanks for coming out today.
Diana, great to see you. Much love. And yes, we spoke about that, you know, a lot of people that they, you know, they mock and they make fun of, you know, they throw memes up with Tua going through his shit. I can't imagine how many memes they would have of me lying on my back or like getting carried off the field. And, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, football beat the emotions out of me. That's what I tell everybody. So, like, I don't even feel like when someone talks shit to me, I'm just like, I love you, which pisses them off even more, by the way. But it's like, why give energy to that? And so, but yeah, the brain injury, it's serious. And I'll share with you guys again, for those of you that may not have been here, but I felt like football was really fucking easy. Even though I didn't get any scholarships out of high school, went to University of Maine. I left there. Everybody's like, you're crazy. You had like 6 good games here. I was like, no, I'm going to follow my dream. I go to, you know, USC. I'm buried on the depth chart. Have a good run because I had a great team. Let's not get that twisted. Had a bunch of All-Americans, Heisman Trophy winners, 3 of them to be exact. Had a great team. But I left as a junior, and everybody's like, you're fucking crazy. And I was like, I don't know. It feels like there's a pattern developing here that I know what I'm doing. And I know I love this sport, and I give everything I have to this sport. And went to 3 straight Pro Bowls. Concussions took their toll, and surgeries. Every concussion was worse than any fucking surgery I had. Mm. Every single one. The mind-body connection and what I spoke about when, like, I never got frozen, you know, where guys just, like, they lose motor control.
Oh, like after the hit on the field.
I've never been on the field just, I've always been, like, on the
field.
With
that, like, rigid physicality?
Just stuck.
Uh-huh.
Right?
You haven't had that?
No, but... that's a loss of motor control. That's a disconnect from the mind and body. And this is what me and Diana talked about. And it's easy to poke fun at it, but like what made football hard for me was slowing down my processor. Like, and I can't imagine that as a quarterback when you're supposed to read things in fractions of a second. Mm. At linebacker, I got plenty of time to adjust, recalculate, get over the top. Like, okay, not favorable to take this angle. Like, you're only going through a series of the same, like, it's like Groundhog's Day. Like, Bill Murray and Groundhog's Day is like, where he keeps waking up at the same time, but he relives it, and then he gets better. That's how that process kind of goes. But then when it gets foggy up there, it's like one indecisive moment can lead to a just catastrophic event of, like, someone else getting hurt, someone else not getting the job done, a run breaking. And so... the only time football got hard for me was, and it was the best year of my career, 07, but I had a couple more concussions that I played through. And when you're having success, you don't question it. You just keep going, right? You're like, well, I can't do wrong, right? I'm still balling. But I wish I took more time to, like, check in and, you know.
What does it feel like?
Like an out-of-body experience. Like, I remember... telling everybody, hey, crack toss left, crack toss left. And this was in 08, a year later, when I really knew what was going on. Like, I was like, oh, shit, I'm not all right. I was saying crack toss left, and, like, the ball snapped. And usually I'm moving before the snap, and my leg didn't move. And I was like, I looked down. I was like, yo, motherfucker, we got to go. And To my leg. And all of a sudden it moved. And I was like, all right. That's not cool.
Hmm.
Not ideal. Like, so when I was like pretty much stripped of my superpower, so to speak. Like, I was like, that's what made me special. Obviously, it wasn't height, weight, speed. It was just the ability to, like, read and react faster than the what they were doing on offense. And then hopefully try to make the rest of my teammates better by, like, telling them what's coming. Percentage-wise, it was a math game, right?
Yeah.
So, now it's real. And I appreciate Diana, you know, coming out.
No
great
doubt.
To see you.
No doubt. I mean, anybody who even the most casual NFL fan nowadays has to know that these things are very real. There's, I mean, tons of news stories out there. You can look up all the research and everything. So I think anyone out there who's denying the sort of validity of any of the medicalness of any of that is just ridiculous these days, for sure. Completely out to lunch. But
yeah,
how many do you think you had?
About like 3 a year. I only played 6 years, so which is 18. Documented was probably 15. Where they were like, oh, like,
what was the policy back then? Like when you would get
it,
one,
it got strict every year. Like they did do a better. I'll give them credit. They did better job of like, hey, like, but you know, if you, I mean, we're gladiators, we're warriors. Like, so if like you still up and you can still see, you going back out. I went up.
Right.
I don't remember anything from that. Fucking NFC Championship game.
Which one? Oh,
I remember the pick.
Yeah.
I don't remember shit after that interception.
Really?
Fuck no. They were like, you drove here. I was like, the fuck I did. I did. I was like, damn.
Wow.
Well, they didn't let me drive home.
Right.
Family took my car home.
Yeah.
Rode with the rest of them. But I was like,
wow. When does it start to feel normal?
Never, dude.
Right.
Like, it'll never be the same.
Uh-huh.
You just got to make the best of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man.